You're good to go. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, this is season three, so I do invite you to go check out the last two seasons. There's some topics there, some subjects that may resonate with you with your realities today. So go have a look at that. And today I have the amazing Lacey Artemis with me. We've had the chance to connect through Speaker Slam. We've got to share the stage, and I just love your story. So I have Lacey joining me today. We're going to talk about so many things that I'll put the spotlight on you. Before we get started with the work that you do, can you kind of tell us about your story, just briefly your story and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mishmash. I've had quite the long winding path in my life. It technically all started in 2013 when I started my own first podcast in my apartment at the time, and I was interviewing my friends, and this was because I was working, but I wasn't happy with the field that I was in, and I was like, I want to do something else, but I don't know what else I want to do. So I started interviewing people to ask them about their job, just try to see if I would be interested enough in one of their jobs to be like, oh, I'm gonna go do that now. And the funny thing was that I found through that process, like, I really like interviewing people and talking to people like this. So I have not been a consistent podcaster ever since, but I am on my third podcast now that I have hosted, which I just recorded an episode of about 2 hours ago. So we're both doing the podcast thing. And yeah, it kind of that was sort of the genesis of leading me to ultimately end up in public speaking. Professional speaking, and it's just something that I really feel passionately about and I really enjoy doing. Like I say, put me on the stage, like I will talk about whatever.
Yeah, I love that, and it's funny. I love to hear people's stories of how they got to public speaking, because it's not usually the first thing we think about. And you actually do comedy as well, if I'm not mistaken, right? How did you get into comedy? I mean, obviously you liked interviewing, but how did that resonate with you?
Yeah, so that came about, like I said, it's been kind of over the course of about 11 years, and there's been phases of it kind of, but in about 2015, oh no, wait, sorry, somewhere in the mid 2010s, I don't remember the year anymore. I ended up taking improv classes. Actually, it was 8 years ago because it was right at the beginning of my transition. I remember that. And I took an improv class, and it wasn't something that I was like super like, oh, I must absolutely do improv. It's my favorite thing ever. It was just like I wanted to try it. And improv is a crash course in getting over feeling like looking silly or anything like that. Like it's just you just throw yourself into the awkward full bore. And so I did those classes at Second City, and I really enjoyed it, but I didn't want to like become a professional improviser. So when I got to the end of the classes, it was just like, all right, I'm gonna go do other stuff now, I guess. And then 2 years ago, in the end of 2023, I was kind of at a point again where I was like, I looked at my bucket list and stand-up comedy was on there. And again, it wasn't like I dreamed of being a stand-up comic, but I wanted to try it. And so I went and took a class, and I expected I was going to be terrible, and I wasn't completely terrible, and I enjoyed it. So, but again, same kind of thing. I was like, I enjoy this, but I don't want to be a professional stand-up comedian. So I'm just going to kind of keep doing things. And public speaking has turned out to be a great umbrella because it allows for improv, for comedy, for storytelling, for just delivering information, for inspiring people. All these things that I enjoy doing can be incorporated into it.
Right. It does help. It kind of gives you all those tools to be able to pivot whenever who depending on what you're presenting at the time. So you do quite a lot of work. I'm gonna try, and I love everything that you do, so I'm gonna try to focus on certain things. But you do right now are also working on playfulness workshops, and I love how you presented. But how did you get into that? What is your ultimate goal for the playfulness workshops and what you want to bring to people when they're working with you?
So it occurs to me that there is a term in the comedy world called a callback, which I'm sure some of your listeners will be familiar with. So I realize I keep doing callbacks to my past because this was not a linear, like one step after another process for me. So about 10 years ago, I attended a workshop, which was a playfulness workshop for adults. And I didn't know such a thing could be a thing, but I went to it and it changed my life. I was like, I need this in my life, but it didn't really exist beyond that. And that event was only a one-off. So I kind of like the seed was planted in my brain and I was like, I wish something like that existed, but I wasn't prepared to start it. And I sort of tried a couple times, but I couldn't find like a co-host. And I was like, I can't do this by myself. So 10 years later, again, all these like winding paths and just bouncing around, I eventually got to a point where it's like, I need to do this. And so what happened was actually, I was talking to somebody who does playfulness stuff, and we were talking about collaborating on one. And so we booked a space and we set a date and we started selling tickets. And then she had a family thing and she had to drop out. And I was like, well, I could, maybe I'll just postpone it and I'll wait till I find another person. And there's something inside me that I was like, wait, I know how I am. And if I postpone this, I'm probably never gonna actually do it. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna stick with this. I'm gonna make it happen anyways. And I'm really glad I did because it was just really amazing. Like people, you get to see, I get to create a space where strangers come together and they get to like become children again. I get to smile and laugh and play and connect. And like, you just don't get that these days. Like, you have to make that space and that time for yourself. And a lot of us don't do that. And a lot of adults that I've talked to, unless they have children, like, that's the only time that they're like playing is when they're playing with or for children. So, but we deserve it too. Like, we never should have stopped playing. And we did. And so, I saw the value from my own experience 10 years ago, and now getting to see other people have the same experience, this is just so powerful and it changes people's lives. And I'm so honored that I get to create that space for people.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful, and that's what I love about your work, because play is something that I integrate with working with children. Obviously, we need to keep that play going. And like you say, why do we stop playing? And then that is a question that I ask myself often, is also trying to create that those moments where children can play freely, where it's unstructured play and they can be themselves. But there's also something therapeutic for adults, and there's a generation of adults who forgot how to play as well. They're not quite sure how to do it anymore. So I see play as parenting your inner child. There's something therapeutic. Can you share your experience with that as well, in terms of how you bring in that element of parenting that inner child of yours?
Yeah, I feel like I never really lost touch with that part of myself. What I feel like I more experienced was that as I got older and like the world was kind of like saying like, no, you shouldn't be like that anymore. Like you need to be mature and well-behaved and responsible and professional and all these things. And like, okay, I can do that, but like why I still want to play. I still want to be silly and creative and I still want to, you know, do these things. And there wasn't really a space for it. And like a lot of people, I kind of, you know, it would basically, if I was playing board games with friends, there'd be an opportunity there. Or if I was attending certain events, there might be a little bit more of an opportunity to kind of play around. I think this is why improv also did appeal. Again, it wasn't that it was my dream, but it's just like it was a way to kind of be a little bit more playful. And yeah, so I think for me, it was just like, I got pulled away from that and like, but this is a part of me and I need to still let this out. How can I do that? And I was, as we often do, I was looking to other people for leadership and I wasn't finding enough of it. So I had to do the, you know, through therapy and through just personal growth, come that person like, okay, no one else is doing this. I guess I'm gonna do it.
Right. I like that. I that's so important. You need to keep that little inner child alive in us. I always say I'm just a young child trapped in an old woman's body, but I'm the same, and not everybody's open to that. You mentioned a lot at, as we're talking, you mentioned about how you have so many different things that come up, that came up in your life. Do you have any advice for anybody's? I myself, I'm neurodivergent, so that I get the squirrel brain, I get things, and I like you said, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. Do you have any advice from your experience that you can share with people on how they can stay focused when there is so many different things that they could do with public speaking or anything? It doesn't have to be public speaking, but anything in their life where they're being pulled to something else that might interest them. I'm really putting you on the spot for that one.
I'm going to be honest, it's still something that I struggle with.
Yeah.
And like, as I've been trying to, as you now probably understand as well, like getting into professional speaking, like you have to have a niche. You have to have a super niche, like, to cut through the noise, as I've been told, so that you stand out from everyone else and that people can find what they're looking for. Like, oh yeah, that is exactly me. That's who I need. And because I do all of these things and I am good at it and I enjoy all of these things, I don't want to limit myself. It feels wrong. It literally feels like it's suffocating me when people try to force me, like, oh no, you only get to talk about this one thing. And like, I just start to feel literally like I'm suffocating. But through the help of like professionals who, do this is what they do. Like, I've worked with my agent, and the thing I think is cool about my agent is that I came to her as like, I do all these things. I can talk about all these things. She's like, okay, cool. We're going to come up with like pitches for each of these topics, and then we can put those pitches to the places that they're relevant to, and then you can still talk about them, but you don't have to be this one trick person. But on my website, I still have to be like, I am, the neurodivergent playfulness speaker. Like, that's my niche, even though that's certainly not all that I do. But in terms of the focus, I think I've kind of had a breakthrough in that recently because as much as I want, like, when I said this earlier, like, I'm not even entirely joking when I say, just put me on stage, I'll talk about anything. Like, I pretty much will. You can tell me to go up and talk about the virtues and the wonders of sponges, and I will find a way to make that interesting, engaging, because I want to. And so I just think that's a strength of mine, but it doesn't, that's not how it kind of works in the biz, in the industry. So right now I'm kind of compromising and I'm saying, okay, like they've told me you get in the door with your like niche, and then once you're in the door, then you can kind of expand from there. And so I'm still absorbing lots of information and having all these ideas, and it's more, I think I would be able to do more actually, believe it or not, if I had like, I do a lot by myself, but if I had like a consistent like assistant or a helper or something. So I don't know if I've directly answered that question. I guess that's not really a concrete, committed answer, but it's, yeah, I get, well, I was just, the person I was talking with before this on my podcast was about marketing. We were talking about, finding like the, it's, the pain points idea. Like, how does what you do help people with a specific problem? And that was a helpful reframing for me that, like, well, yes, I can do 10,000 things, but nobody needs 10,000 things. People need one thing. So you just have to kind of like pick the thing that like resonates the strongest. So, public speaking is an umbrella. I can get booked for keynotes or whatever, and I can incorporate a little bit of, comedy storytelling, whatever, into them. That's kind of the compromise for me, I guess.
No, this makes perfect sense. I'm sure any other neurodivergent will understand exactly what you mean, because niching down is such a challenge for
It's
from
it's
us.
antithetical to ADHD.
It is, and I think that brings me back. There's two questions that popped up to mind with that, what you just said, because it opens up a conversation I think that people do need to, because we're, I'm also entering the speaking world and I love it. And then, yes, I am working on that niching down, but I think it has the same kind of approach that we see in education where everybody needs to fit that mold. We're all doing it the same way, we're using the same formula, but not everybody fits in that box, So what do you think, what would be your wisdom on this? And it's just, this is unscripted. We didn't prepare for this, but in terms of building empathy for those coaches who are coaching people that are opening up to the speaking world, or that they're starting their own business where you're told you need to niche down if you're starting your coaching business, in terms of building empathy on that, I don't like to use the term invisible disability, but the neuro spicy people will not be able to follow that magical formula of cloning everybody the same. What do you think? What would you need basically in terms of support, if somebody mentoring in that where you don't want to necessarily fit the box and you want to explore your world?
It's interesting that you're asking me this question. And I'll tell you, because I sort of have been like flirting with the coaching thing myself, Last year, like for a few years, some of my friends have been saying like you'd be a really good coach, Lacey. And I was like, I don't know about that. I don't think that that's like the right. I don't think that that's my thing. Like I'm happy to help people. I love helping people, but I didn't want to be. This is kind of the thing. It's like it all for me. It always comes back down to I don't want to only be this thing. I
Right.
want that to be a part of what I do. And so I started a coaching certification online thing last year, and the foundation of it is like you're not supposed to tell them what to do. You're not supposed to like lead them on. You're just supposed to ask them questions and let them find the answer within themselves. And I get that, but I got really frustrated with it because I'm like, every coach that I have worked with that I've had a good experience with, it was interactive. They weren't just robotically asking me questions and being like, I can't give you advice. You have to answer. Like, we can only, like, that's not how it works. And
Right.
so I learned like you can be a coach, like it that they try to teach you that foundation because they want you to have that. You have to be able to come back to that basic, but that those basics. But so for me now, I'm thinking like I do want to help people, and I have a lot of experience and knowledge and skills that can help people. But who am I helping? And this it always comes back to this, and I struggle. And so the other day I started to like write a draft new website page. It's not public on my site, but it's like I'm building it in the background, and like I rewrote it like 3 times because I'm just like I'm sort of like I feel like I want to help people that are like me, but I'm not a very niche person. So I kind of like, do I just say like this has been my experience, this has been my story. If that sounds like you, then let's work together. Or do I try to come at it from the like specific an angle as it is to be like, oh, you're on a multi-passionate whatever. Like, I don't know. I'm still kind of struggling with it, but I think, you know, from what I've experienced in the neurospicy community, like we get each other. And so I think even just being like, oh, I'm a coach that has ADHD, that's already going to bring a bunch of people, you know, like moths to the lamp, you know? So, I don't know.
I love that visual. Yeah, we're just kind of fluttering around, trying not to get burnt. I love it. I think you're right about the coaching, where you've in a space where, I think we're probably looking more for mentorship than coaching, where it's just let that interaction, that back and forth, and said, okay, this is not working for me, and my brain will not allow me to come up with the answer because I'm thinking of five other things at the same time. So
Well,
sometimes I do need somebody to
yeah.
tell me, okay, let's do this now.
So you just reminded me of something, and I'm glad it sparked my memory because I met with a coach last year, and actually I met with a few of them, and I ended up working with one specific one for a reason. But one of the other ones that I met with when I was on the call with her, like I'd never had this experience before. She literally started like on the discovery call, like we ended up going well past the half hour, and she started like giving me like ideas, be like, well, have you tried this or what about that? And like start and I started to get really inspired. And she's like, yeah, I have clients who like they text me every time they have any kind of like little win or victory or progress or epiphany. And I'm just like, I love it. I'm like, yes, send me all of your good news and your like moments. And I heard that and I was like, that is what I want. I want someone who's gonna like, because I am just this like super high energy golden retriever, like run through walls, like make it happen person. And I'm like, if you're looking for someone like that, I was looking for someone like that. Maybe I can be that for you because I, you know, found someone who could be
Yeah.
that for me. And I sort of had like, I don't know if that's specific enough. It's not really, but like that's the kind of energy that I have. And I love to meet other people like that because then we both just like shoot into the stratosphere together.
I love that. Yes, that's exactly it. Those mini wins, I call them mini wins, where, and I could see for non-neurospicy people that could be a little annoying, but yes, why can't we celebrate everything that's going well, you know, or great idea that we just had, or you know, the million and one great ideas that we just had. So I think it's great. Sorry, I just knocked my mic off. Is there, again, I'm just making these up as we go. But it kind of, you sparked something in me here where it's like, What's your ideal platform, your stage, your forum or whatever, where, because niching down is not necessarily easy. What's the ideal scenario for you if you could make it up with a magic wand?
I think I really do like being on a stage. Like it's 'cause I mean it doesn't have to be performing. It can still be speaking, but like, and I think part of it, to be honest, a little bit vulnerable, because I do also have autism, and when I was younger, I was much more like the kind of traditional stereotype of autism, and that I was very socially awkward and oblivious and couldn't speak well and was unaware for a number of years that I was, quote unquote, the problem, that it was me. In the sense that, like, oh yeah, like I'm being weird and people are reacting to me weirdly or oddly, and I'm like, I didn't initially understand why, and I eventually figured it out. And so for many years I struggled with that, and I was also introverted, so like I was a very, very, very late bloomer socially. And that's part of why like I'm so like happy now, because like not only am I a lot more confident, I'm a lot more eloquent and engaging, but like now I have this voice and I'm confident in using it, and I can connect with people. And that was a thing I at one point I didn't know if it would ever be reality. And so understanding like the power in that, and the what's the word? The like the not validation, I can't find the right word, but like it's like empowering, and it's like I can help bring that to other people. That's where my shine language philosophy basically drives from. It's like I started super awkward and I couldn't talk and I was feeling isolated and disconnected, and I just wanted to connect with people, and I had to do all this personal growth and all like I've gone through a lot to get here, but I'm proud and I'm excited and I'm like motivated. I'm like, let's all shine. Like I know you know nobody, I mean, as I say, nobody knows, like I can't prove that I was awkward when I was younger, but like if I showed you a picture from my high school yearbook, you'd be like, that kid was freaking awkward, I can tell. And like now, like you look at me now, it's like, yes, like I have come a long way. And that feeling of just knowing what it feels like to try everything that I could, and nothing landed, nothing worked, and people just were like, looked at me sideways and be like, what is with you? And it was so awful. And I didn't give up. It's like, I need to figure this out. I can't, I need to, so, and I did. And that's, like I said, why now I think why people are like, oh, you should be a coach, because like you just like get it and you want to help people, and like that's what a coach does, and I do. And so to realize I really went away from your original question, but like it, like I can help people through podcasting, which is why I'm happy that I do a podcast, not so much through comedy, which is why I prefer to incorporate the comedy into like other, forms of speaking. But like motivational speaking or like hosting a panel or being on a panel, like that's something I haven't gotten to do very much that I would really love to do more of. Going on TV to speak about particular issues, because I know that several of the people from the Speaker Slam, the Slam Fam, as we call ourselves, have done that, and I would love to do that too. So it's sorry that I'm really great at long-winded answers. I
No,
apologize.
this is great. No, you're doing it. This is exactly, it paints a really good picture of you, it being having as many venues as possible to share that message. And to because everything that you just said, I know there's so many people that are going to resonate with that feeling, that where they go through such a long period of time where they're thinking, okay, what's wrong with me? I can't be that, like, I'm not
I'm not
weird. Why?
broken. People just don't get me.
Exactly. And then and you're beating yourself up for it because you're the one who's not fitting the mold. But later on, that realization, there's so much work, like you said, you had to do a lot of inner work, but there's so much work that comes into that afterwards to say, oh, okay, it's not me. I'm not the problem. I shouldn't be the problem. There's a lot to be learned there. And that's, I think just the fact that you broadening the venues that you can share that message with would do the job. It would be amazing.
And you mentioned, or you kind of referenced earlier, support for invisible disabilities. And this is another thing that I am starting to really lean into now, like more disability support and advocacy in general, because I'm also partially hard of hearing. And I have a intermittent, less frequent, but like I have a knee thing that acts up here and there. And so I'm temporarily a cane user a couple times a year usually. And I get, headaches and migraines from sensory overstimulation. So like I do deal with a variety of things, and actually I'm not sure exactly when this is coming out, but I'm gonna let out a little surprise. If you follow me on LinkedIn, or if you don't yet, please do. I have thrown together, literally, because ADHD, and I thought of it like, a week before. I was like, let's see if I can do this. And so I know a lot of disabled people, and I reached out to a bunch of them. It was like, July is Disability Awareness Month. I'd love to interview a bunch of us and talk about our disabilities and raise awareness and show, the positive side, like not inspiration porn, but like, what, like we're still like, see what comes out of that. So I'm really excited to have those conversations coming up, and like I really am trying to get representation for a wide variety of disabilities and not just ADHD and autism. And I'm really excited about that. And I'm hoping to continue to do more beyond the podcast as well.
That's amazing, and that's a great it's a great way to start is to open up those conversations so more people could relate, or like you say, that representation. Disabilities is such a broad description of so many different things, right? So to be able to talk to everybody and their realities, I find when we do that, we realize that we have a lot more in common than we think we are, because we're just put into one category, right? You mentioned that these interviews that you'll be doing. Is there anything else that you're working on right now, or that's coming up that you'd like to share?
There is one thing coming up very soon. So on July 15th, I've been collaborating with a man named Mark Elwood, who does a lot of like leadership work, and he's doing a workshop called Leader Bloom, which is a leadership workshop for young professionals. And so I've been helping with some like promotion and planning, and I'm going to be there as an events assistant support. So I won't be hosting it, but I will be there. And I'll be encouraging people. So that the tickets are up on Eventbrite for that. And if you're available, we'd love to have you. That is the kind of most that's the thing in event land. Like the summertime is as I've learned, as I've come to find out, the summertime is a slower time for events because everyone wants just to be outside, in the parks or at the beach or the cottage or whatever. So I'm not running any of my own events this summer, probably, maybe one here or there, but nothing's currently actively in the works with that. Otherwise, I mean, you've got your book cover there behind you. I have written a book in the past. I'm also slowly working on a new memoir, but just since I mentioned it, oh, I got the blur going on here. Hold on a sec, I'll turn that off and we can
I like the cover.
Hold on a second. Background. I should have been prepared for this. There we
Perfect.
go.
There it is,
Oh,
Parker and Tucker. I
so it's
like
called
that.
Parker and Tucker. Yeah, my finger's over the title. So it's a short fiction young adult novel about two private investigators. And spoiler alert, one of them is based not so loosely on me. You can get this on Amazon. I can send Danielle the link that she can put in the
Yeah.
show notes.
I can definitely put that, and I love the illustration. Looks like you too.
So I worked with an artist, and I had some negotiation with that because I'm like I didn't want it to just be like, oh, make me into the cover figure, but like, so yeah. What else is going on? The podcast, the event. Oh, I've been doing a lot more blog writing lately as well. That's kind
Nice.
of the other thing. I mean, there's a million things I could talk about, but I don't want to take up all the time, so.
No, that's okay. And that can lead me to the next part is if people want to know more about what you do and what's coming up and what other creations have that will inspire you. How can people follow you or contact you if they wanted to work with you or see your work?
Yeah, my website is just lacyartemis.com, nice and simple. I'm on most social media as at Lacey Artemis. I'm not on Twitter slash X anymore. I mean, I just deactivated my account. And I'm not on like there's like Mastodon and this thing called Lemonade, but everything else I'm on. I'm not active on everything, but I'm there. And yeah, hat collecting. Artie Mix Events is my events company. I didn't name it yet because it's kind of not active presently, but that's the company that I do the playfulness workshops through and some other ideas that I have in the works.
Nice.
And that's also on social media. And yeah, I have my Your Shine Language newsletter, which you can also find through my website or go to bit.ly/shinelanguage and you can sign up there. Yeah.
Now, what is your podcast called so we can add that
Oh
as well?
yes, it's called hat collecting, which is a funny thing with that. Some people actually think that that literally is means that I collect physical hats, which I don't. It's a metaphor, but it's fun.
I love that. Yeah, I can see that. It could give me the confusion there. I think it's good. No, and I'll be sure to put all that information in the description box as well so people can follow you. But before we go, I wanted to ask, because I could talk to you all day, but I usually ask all of my guests this question because I made a promise to a little girl. So I'm really curious to know what your thoughts are on this. But what do you want to be when you grow up?
I have a blog post coming out about this soon. So I won't spoil too much there, but when I was younger, this will make a lot of sense from what I've said already, that when I was young and I remember the first things that I wanted to be, one of them was a firefighter because it was just like I wanted to help people. I wanted to kind of serve the community and do something noble. And I also wanted to be a hockey player because I'm a Canadian. So those are two of the things. But you know, that obviously well, if you could kind of see my whole physique, I am not the physique for being a firefighter. So that wasn't gonna happen. But and I wasn't good enough at hockey. But I think, you know, this kind of touches on another thing that relates to the playfulness in the inner child. Cause one thing that I heard this said, I hope I'm not like kind of wrecking the flow of this answer, but I've heard it said like, you know, why can't kids just like want to be happy when they grow up? Why do they have to want to like be a job or a profession or something? And I think that the first time I heard someone say it, I was like, you know, my head blew up because like, of course, like why didn't I think of that? But I think that's why too. Obviously, we try to figure out what does make us happy, and then we try to go and do that as our career. Doesn't always pan out for all of us, but that's also I think why some of us become coaches. We're like we want people to get to the thing that makes them happy. So, is that a good enough answer?
That is a great, there's no wrong answer to that question. That's why I love asking it because and this is you kind of said it as well. I forget who said it, but it said if you know what you're going to be when you grow up, that's what you're going to be. But if you don't know, then you could be anything. But I like how you relate it to happiness. Yeah, I just want to be somewhere
Well,
that's going to make me happy. That's so important. There's so many
yeah,
people that are
because,
miserable in what they do right now
well,
that it's great to hear.
it's because we're kind of instilled with this idea that like, you know, we have to contribute to society, which yes, we do, but there's lots of different ways to do that. Like, yes, we need sanitation workers. Yes, we need doctors. Yes, we need, you know, lawyers and all that. But we also need artists and we also need comedians and we also need, you know, like people that do workshops, whether they're playful or not. Like, we need all of these things. So, the focus is always on more like the traditional, either blue or white collar things. But, you know, a little bit of creativity and imagination never hurts.
It goes a long way. It does. We do need, yes, I love that. I think it's wonderful. Again, I could take it, but we're going to wrap it up before I close off the episode. Is there anything else you wanted to add, or is there a message that you kind of want to spread?
I, you know what? I, if anyone here, if anyone listening to this doesn't already, go follow Dr. Mike on YouTube, and he has a podcast because his catchphrase is "Stay happy and healthy." And like, I feel like there's nothing better that I could say.
So true. You're
Yeah.
absolutely right. Yeah. Oh no, thank you so much. And again, we'll make sure everybody follows you as well, because I can't wait to see what's coming up next for you as well. There's a lot of things up in the works, and I think it's wonderful. So thank you for sharing your story. And before I go again, where can they get your book if they
Oh,
wanted to?
yes. It's currently only available on Amazon. Yeah, basically that's the simple answer. I do have a few physical copies left. So if anybody wants like an autograph copy, I have to send one to somebody in Nova Scotia, but yeah, I'm happy to do that as well.
Okay, perfect. I'll make sure to add that information as well. So thank you so much, Lacey, again for coming on. I could talk to you. This was, for me as a host, this was definitely one of the easiest episodes I've had, because it just, we get each other, I think. We just, it makes a difference. It's magical when you get two neurodivergent people coming together. So yeah, we do need to be there for our community as well. So thank you. Thank you again for coming on. And for everybody who's listening or watching, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening and watching from. Don't forget to check out Lacey as well. I'll make sure to add all of that on social media and our website. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.